Hi there, and welcome to this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman.
And hi, it's me, Jennifer Digman.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
And I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward.
Yeah, we're moving forward into our 50s.
Dude, moving forward into our 50s is like that train's left the station years ago, love.
I know, but it's nice to hold on to the 40s and the youth while we think we have it.
Dude, if we can hold on to youth, I'd probably go back a little before the 40s, reclaim some of my youth.
Yeah, I suppose, but we were young and stupid. So in 50, in 50 is where we are, and we listened to or we participated. We didn't really participate, but we listened to a really good webinar last week, and I think since we saw that or listened or whatever,
we listened.
Both, yay, multitasking Digman. Since then, I've really been thinking about aging and multiple sclerosis, and maybe that's why I jumped in with our 50-year-old selves.
Well, I get that, but Jennifer's talking about MS News and Views had this great webinar with Dr. Aaron Boster to talk about aging and multiple sclerosis, and I think just that we, as two people who are well into our 50s, and I can say that because I'm older than you, so I'll be 54. Dude, I'll be 54. Why do I always call you dude?
I have no
because
idea.
I don't want to say sweets. But it is that I'll be 54 in September, and it's like, you know, how that aging comes, you know, because we've always talked about how do you know when things that are going wrong with your body, different with your body, how much is it aging and how much is it multiple sclerosis, and can it be one and the same, one versus another, you know? And so I think that's why this webinar from MS News and Views and with Dr. Boster really spoke to us, and it did not disappoint.
As per usual, we've had Dr. Boster on our podcast before. Dr. Boster had a lot of really good information, and he spoke, what, maybe 15 minutes? Mm. And then the rest of the time, he just answered questions. And there were a lot because we face it. Everyone gets older and multiple sclerosis. This was one thing that I gleaned that I thought was really interesting. It's just MS does not stop. Mm. It doesn't look at my calendar and say, oh, you're 50. Stop taking a disease-modifying therapy. Mm. You've come to the point where you're out to, you're done. Your MS
you've plateaued.
You've plateaued, and Dr. Boster really nailed home that point that we need to be on disease-modifying therapy, and that it's important at any age. And he talked about patients of his own that were in their 70s and 80s and still on DMTs, and that's very important. And he also talked about brain volume. And it was just, I mean, that for me was big. What did you think, Dan?
I totally agree with you, because I think that's the one thing that stuck with me was just we lead an MS, like a support group here in Michigan, and it's just been interesting. Obviously, we are among, you know, I don't want to say the younger people within the group, but I mean, we are, and even in the 50-somethings that we're the younger in the group, and just that we've had at least two people in our group who've had their neurologist tell them, like, well, we don't need that. We're going to take you off this DMT because you're older, you plateaued, and blah, blah, blah. But it's just like, just hear Dr. Boster say that's, you know, that's bunk. That it's just like, you know, because that's where your disease is still active. It's still smoldering. I mean, it's, you know, I think just the sense that your MS didn't stop because you turned 54 in September, Dan.
and right along with that, there is that reality that, as we've talked about in the past, but it was just driven home again, that you need to do what you can, control what you can, watch your diet, get your sleep, get your exercise, beating a dead horse there. Right. That you need to get your exercise, you need to not smoke, you need to watch your alcohol consumption, and just live the healthiest lifestyle possible and control what you can while you can still control it.
When I think that's the big thing is just that, you know, I was diagnosed in 2000 and you were diagnosed in 97, and just how, what, I was 27 when I was diagnosed, you were but a spry 23-year-old when you were diagnosed. But certainly, you know, with our MS, we are asking such different questions now. At, what are you, 52?
I'm 51. Thank you very much.
You will be, but you, but you'll be, but you'll be.
I
mean,
be,
I'm saying I'm 54,
I'm,
so
I'm close, yeah, you're, to 52. You're close, but, I shouldn't say that.
But
yes.
But still, it's just, it's the sense that, you know, we're asking different questions now, you know, just in general, in our 50s than we did when we were 20, as we were diagnosed, and so just like, what does this look like, and what does it look like for you? I mean, just do you. Do you feel like, do you feel older or that your MS is worse? Which takes priority in your life right now in terms of when you have a medical condition or something's different physically, mentally with you? Are you thinking multiple sclerosis? Are you thinking I'm old?
I still think multiple sclerosis. That's the biggest issue for me. Dr. Boster talked about comorbidities, which I thought was fascinating, because you don't realize that just because you have MS doesn't mean you can't have other things. So I thought that was interesting. But he also talked about the fact that we can change medication. You know, I am 51. It doesn't mean I'm stuck with the drug that I'm taking now. Mm-hmm. If it stops working, talk to my neurologist and see about changing. And he did discuss the fact that there are 26.
They're talking now, you know, pushing 30 disease-modifying therapies, which is considerably different from the 3 that were available when we were diagnosed back in the late 90s, early 2000s.
And not that I need permission from Dr. Aaron Boster, but just to hear him say, you know, Jennifer, and he didn't say, you know, Jennifer, but I took it that way. You know, if your medication isn't working for you, you can switch. And I also didn't, Dr. Boster didn't say it directly to me, but he did call out medications that both Dan and I are taking, and said really good things, that we have powerful drugs that work, and that he did call them by names.
But you know, for discussion purposes, I mean, it's like, but I mean, because that's what's interesting, you know, when we talk about disease modifying therapies and aging and MS, that you just last week finished your second round of your twice a year treatment of Rituxan. And so how did that go for you in terms of, do you feel empowered when this happens?
I do feel empowered. It was especially good because Nurse Steve and Nurse Jamie both were able to find my vein for my infusion on the first try, which is wonderful. And we both credited warmer weather because I wasn't cold. So my veins were plump, not Dan Digman plump, but they were Jennifer Digman plump. And I was hydrated, so they were able to get the infusion sites started right away and had that little dose of Cyamendrol, which Dr. Boster talked about why we need that. And so that was good, informative. And then I started the infusion and I was done in what felt record time to me, maybe 5 hours.
Yeah.
And it was very good. And then we had our support group this weekend. So it has been busy. I had my infusion last week and then I had my support group. And so there was a lot of multiple sclerosis. And I don't say that in a bad way, but it's a way that we control. Like, we control the narrative. You know, we're not like having to call our doctors because we're not feeling well. So I'm thankful for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where we had gotten so good about coordinating our disease modifying therapy infusions that you're on the Rituxan and I'm taking Ocrevus, and just that I, you know, everything went through and now I'm getting my infusion in a couple weeks. And I think that's the interesting thing, is just dealing with, you know, something that, you know, everybody deals with, you know, with insurance issues and coverage and whatnot. And just that, with my, you know, that our company has, you know, changed, and just that I have new insurance. And so now, that was always the cute thing, if I can say it was cute, but just that, you know, you would get your infusion and then we'd say, oh, see you in like a week because I'm getting mine. But now with the way the insurance is set up, I can't get my infusion within the same health park as you. So I have to go to another infusion center. And I'm obviously, it's nicer to be able to do it through, you know, where we were getting it done. But at the same time, how lucky are we that we have something, this infusion center is actually closer to where we live. I mean, whereas like 10 minutes to the health park isn't a big deal. But when I'm talking 3 minutes over to where I can get the infusion now.
Are you nervous? I mean, I imagine when you've done your infusion for a few years, as you have, to go to a new infusion center, to meet new people, to have them poking around in your veins, are you at all nervous or uncomfortable?
I think so. I think it's just, I suppose, the fear of the unknown, or the comfortability. Mm-hmm. Just to where it had been familiar and you know what you're getting. And obviously, you know, if we have our favorite McDonald's, Applebee's, I'm just thinking of like a big, you know, nationwide chain of restaurant. You go to a McDonald's here in Michigan, and we are going back to Iowa in a couple weeks. You know that your quarter pound cheeseburger in Iowa is going to be the same quarter pound cheeseburger that you get here in Michigan. Mm-hmm. And so I think that for, Ocrevus, you know, whether I get it done at this new center or out at the health park, should be the same thing. But at the same time, you don't know. You don't know, like, what, you know, tricks. And I suppose, mm-hmm, it's like always going to a new doctor, that it's like you establish a relationship with a physician and then you have a new physician. Well, they don't know your history. And so it's, on some levels, you feel like you're starting over.
Yeah.
And not that I have a personal relationship with, you know, the infusion centers, but at the same time, they know that if I come in, they're going to see you eventually because you're going to bring me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich to eat during my 4 or 5 hour infusion. Whereas, like, you know, you and it's like you could go to the health park and just act like you own the joint because you're just like, I'm, you know, Dan Digman's wife. And mm-hmm, it's like, you know, whereas now, it's like you have to go through clearance to do that.
And it's the reality that when we would get our infusions, it was not uncommon for me to come up and sit with you while you got your infusion. But now with this new infusion center, we may not be able to do that. And Dan will be flying solo. And that feels slightly uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I don't know anybody listening out there, if you're on an infusion medication, it's a long time when you're having the infusion. It's forced relaxation, yes, but it's also something where You want your buddy, your spouse, your child. You want someone with you. And so that will be different because this may be a smaller infusion center. And it is that unknown. And I believe multiple sclerosis gives us enough of unknowns
right.
that we would like that certainty, that reassurance, that comfort of knowing, yeah, my spouse or my significant other is there with me just in case. And that, you know, again, you have plump veins. So the nurses should be able to start your IV quick. But details.
But I think that's, you know, on some levels, is that echoing more with aging and MS? It's just like, you know, if you're newly diagnosed and you're 20 something years old, you don't have longevity, you don't have, you know, systems, processes in place that you're used to and comfortable with. Whereas now you're older, things change and you have to relearn things. And
what is that? It's hard to teach an old dog new tricks.
Woof woof. Exactly. So that's where we're at. I think that's just something with the aging and MS when we're talking about disease modifying therapies. There was something else as far as, I thought this was interesting with you know, what Dr. Boster said among many things, but just talking about like the functional reserve and, to say it, it's like just thinking like it's like your body has a savings account. I mean, this is as I understood it. So it's just like, you know, when we're younger, we have a lot in our savings, you know, we have tons in our savings. But then over time, you know, just that the MS makes withdrawals, taking stuff out of your savings account. And aging takes the withdrawals. And so other health problems makes withdrawals out of your savings account. And so then, you know, just that the goal isn't to simply avoid MS attacks, it's to protect what's left. And I think just in, as, you know, over time, so much has been taken out of this savings account. So it's just like, how do we protect what's still there in our bodies, in our minds, in our abilities and stuff? So how do we protect it? I mean, there's some things, and I don't want to sound negative. There's just things that I'm not going to get back because of the disease, because what the disease has done. You haven't walked in like 24, 25 years, right?
Yeah.
It's like, will you ever walk again? You know, I'm not saying we've talked about this, and it's like, not that you're never going to walk again, but it's like there's going to have to be things that have to happen for that to happen. But it's just so there's things, you know, I can't, you know, my hands are always numb. Am I going to get something back? Am I that going to get back? Probably not. I mean, unless they find a cure, find, you know, something to remyelinate things. So it's just like, how do we preserve? So that's something where, things were taken out of my savings account and I don't think I'm ever going to get that back. So then it's just like, but like right now I can pick things up. I don't necessarily have the feeling in my fingers and hands to tell that I'm necessarily, you know, what it is I'm touching, but it's like, I can still grip, I can still hold. So it's like, how do we preserve that? And so that's the functionality of it.
And that's important. We have to keep what we can and not let ourselves, as we age, decondition. Dr. Boster did discuss that, and that hit very close to home because since your hernia surgery,
we have
deconditioned, and it's easy to do. And you know, blink, and it's July.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where has this year gone? And time goes so quickly, and we have to make an effort. You know, we can't ride on reputation. Just we can't let MS, like, oh, we have MS. We're dealing with it. It's okay. We have to try and fight. I don't want to say fight. That sounds negative.
So aggressive.
Yeah, right. Just have to try and stay on top of and manage the disease. Be thoughtful. And so
Well, and that's where he talked about, you know, protecting the functional reserve in terms of like emphasizing things like continuing to stay on, you know, appropriate DMT, the exercising, you know, maintaining, you know, muscle mass and the flexibility and just all the other, just think of the stuff. And we've talked about this, just maintaining control, getting your sleep, eating. I don't want to say your prayers and take your vitamins, but, you know, just avoiding smoking, limiting alcohol. And so just how do you, you know, we talked about just the discipline of what we've tried to incorporate in our life in terms of, you know, eating better and, you know, going to bed on time or earlier, getting the.
And Dr. Boster, one thing I do remember from that webinar very vividly is that man drank a lot of water while he was talking with us and the importance of staying hydrated. And he mentioned stretching, just staying, you know, trying to preserve yourself. And he himself talked about he's aging and just the small things that you can do to stay ahead of your health. And so I thought that was good. And aging is going to happen to all of us, but what, you know, what can we do to stay as healthy as possible?
And I think that's something too, just for everybody out there in listener land, just, you know, that, you know, like, as you said, everybody's aging. You don't have to have MS to age. You know, everybody with MS, without MS is aging. So for everyone out there in listener land, it's like, what's worked for you? I mean, in terms of habits for things to help you age well with MS, you know, is it going to bed earlier or getting a right amount of sleep or the food and stuff? So let us know. I mean, what's worked for you? I mean, send us an email to acoupletakesonms@gmail.com just to let us know, you know, join the conversation, because obviously everybody's MS is different and everybody has different things that work. What are the tricks of the trade that will help, not help us, but help everybody else living with MS, just things to think about. So again, that's acoupletakesonms@gmail.com. Just let us know what's worked for you.
And we had, as we mentioned, we had our support group meeting this past weekend, and we were talking, and it wasn't really a complaint of Dan's, but he was just talking about assisting at church and how it can be a little challenging to carry things and assist. And the group had a number of suggestions, mm-hmm. ways to make it a little easier and just simple things. And that is kind of what we hope with this podcast, is just a conversation. And that's why a support group was so helpful for us, was just to sit down and just spitball and brainstorm just simple little things to make it easier to manage the disease and just to get around on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, it is the truth that we're all aging, and what are some of the tricks? And I know that since I have started being a little more intentional with my eating choices, that having protein drinks help me maintain my energy, and that watching my weight always is a never ending story, but that has been very helpful to help me manage my MS a little bit better.
And I think, you know, something that I've learned just in aging is like taking better care of yourself. And I, for years, I let my thyroid medicine slip. I stopped taking it because mm-hmm. I was like, oh, it doesn't do anything. But then I actually went back to my doctor and actually got a blood test for anything and everything. It's more like a physical of what I did. And just seeing that my thyroid isn't good. You know, it's a hypothyroidism, I think.
One of those comorbidities that I was talking about.
Exactly. And so just that I was got put back on that. And I want to say my energy's gotten a little better because of that, you know, and that's in the same thing too with our neurologist, getting back on because I had let, no longer my insurance didn't cover the I can't think of the technical name, but
the walking drug.
The walking drug.
Aminopyridine.
Aminopyridine, yeah.
But just pyridine, you know, depending.
Yeah. But just that, you know, talking with a neurologist and actually found a way to get that medicine. And I think just taking better care of yourself and having that agency to consciously do it, not just sitting at the sidelines, letting MS and aging just happen to you. Obviously aging happens, but I mean, what do you do to fight the age and, you know, the effects of aging?
Yeah. And just to stay on top of it. And it's an interesting time of the year because we both have had our yearly visits, if you want to say yearly visits, with our neurologist. So we did that a few weeks ago, and we've had the treatments. I've had my course of every 6 month infusion, and you're getting ready to do yours. So in the summer, that's something we're going to do. And then we'll do it again in December, and time just is flying by. So if we could figure out how to slow things down a little bit, that would be nice. But, you know, this is the youngest we'll ever be. Oldest
I guess that's the question then, as we've talked about a lot of this with aging and stuff, and that you were diagnosed when you were 23. So then now that you're 51, did you ever think this is where you would be with aging, or do you ever, it's almost like, do we as people with MS, it's almost like we're just trying to get through the day to day, and what am I doing now? What's going to get me through the dinner time to get me through so I can take a nap and stuff? Do we ever stop and think about aging through the process? Like when you're 20 something, I'm just trying to figure out the disease. Figure out what's going on there. But then it's just like, at what point do we as people with MS start thinking about the aging and MS? Not as two separate things, but it's just like how the aging process affects MS.
That's why this webinar was so valuable for me, is that to know, you know, they don't have a lot of research, and I'm using the big they, you know, the warlords in the sky somewhere, absolutely. But there isn't a lot of research that exists about aging and multiple sclerosis because it's difficult. You know, it's hard to find medication. It's hard to test an older population because we are older, and, you know, we need to stay on top of the drugs. So there isn't a ton of research, but they're starting to get more. I thought that was exciting and encouraging. And just the realization that aging and multiple sclerosis is a real thing. Mm-hmm. That we do have to stay on top of it. There isn't a golden year that, you know, we reach 50 and it's like, okay, Emma, it's going to be kind to me now. It's going to take a break. It's like,
cross the finish line. Like, it's so awesome.
No, you're not even close. You're not even close. You have to stay on top of it. Mm-hmm. And to see this, thank you very much for this webinar that reminded me, or that told me that you're not, you know, we have had members of our groups, and I'm not calling anyone out in particular, but just say, oh, well, you know, I'm in my 60s. I don't need to take a DMT anymore.
# the doctor said.
Yeah. And it's like, no, you really do. And you have to stay on top of your health and keep walking and keep exercising and keep your mind moving. Mm-hmm. Don't just let that go. That's important. And it's as valuable in your 50s as it was when you were diagnosed in your 20s. So that was, it was a really good webinar, and it was just a good reminder that we have to stay on top of it. But how about you? I mean, is this where you saw yourself in your 50s?
I think, you know, when I was first diagnosed in my, you know, late 20s, I'm thinking what a blessing that I would actually be there, you know, or just to be able to have that discussion at almost 54 years old. I think that that's the one thing too, that we as MS, it's like we don't own the market on aging and MS, and that, you know, that just because we're older doesn't mean that we don't deserve quality of life. And mm-hmm. so I think that that's where, you know, people, you know, I think everything that we talk about in terms of things that are going to be good for us because we have MS, anybody that's going to be 54 in September, whether or not you have MS, you should be focusing on getting enough sleep. You should be focusing on getting exercise and movement and things like that. So it's just like, I think maybe does it become more urgent or more pressing for those of us who have MS? Probably, because there's, you know, we have things working against us that way. But I just think that that's where, if anything, it lights a fire. So where it's just like, okay, this is what we have. And, like, you know, we talk about agency and stuff, like, how do we do this to not just roll over and let it happen to us? I mean, it's almost like you want to go down swinging, just, and there's the fighting thing again, but it's just like you need to be aggressive and in competition with the disease. So,
and you need to continue staying active and involved and surrounding yourself with people mm-hmm. that will push you and challenge you and keep you on that, because we can't just roll over and say, I'm in my 50s, I've made it. Like, I want to make it to my 70s. I want to make it to my 80s. So what am I doing to make that happen? And so, again, just really, really encouraging webinar, and just good, and a good conversation to know that nobody is putting me out to pasture. I still have a lot of living to do, as do you.
Absolutely.
As do anyone listening to this discussion. And there's no reason that multiple sclerosis should shorten our time on Earth, because it's a manageable disease.
Yep, absolutely. And so, again, we'll have information in the liner notes and show notes for this, just other articles and conversations relating to aging and MS. But the other thing too is just, you know, we'd like to hear from you, you know, listener land, just what tips, what's worked for you in terms of, like, ways that you've, you know, a habit that you've adopted as you've grown older with MS. What have you done to help manage things? And when we're talking about maintaining what you have in your reserves,
or if you have a struggle and you want to know how to manage, reach out to us, because we're here to try and help, and there's strength in numbers.
Absolutely. And that's so email us is acoupletakesonms@gmail.com. So until next time, we are A Couple Takes on MS. I'm Dan Digman, and I'm walking.
And I'm Jennifer Digman, who's rolling.
And together, we're moving forward. Take care.